My Rebbe was the Rav, my Rebbe Muvok. Can you hear me? And I remember the first day we came to Ashir on a Tuesday, we all got up for him. And he says, I know why you're getting up. In those days, he still spoke Yiddish. You're getting up because the chiyuv to give cover to a Rebbe, especially a Rebbe of Tel Shabbat Peh, is a very serious chiyuv. Then he went on for 10 minutes, detailing all the halachas of the cover that is due to a Rebbe. When it was all finished, he says, but there's another halacha. Rav Shemachal al Kvodo, Kvodo Machu. And I want you to know right now, I never again want you to get up for me. It's not good for my midos. And I'm Mechal al the cover. So on Wednesday, the second Shia, when he came in, we got up just a little bit. We couldn't just sit. So he said, I don't think you understood because you get in Yiddish. It's not open in English. And he repeated in English what he said. He said, when I told you not to get up, I mean it. By the way, all my new Talmidim and all my new Talmidim, the first day of each Zaman, both uptown and midtown, I announced to them they're never to get up when I come in. If it wasn't good for my Rebbe's midos, it surely isn't good for mine. It's as simple as that. I want to say to you, I'm a little bit perturbed that our esteemed chairman, Reb Levi Mostovsky, whose father, by the way, was a distinguished classmate of mine at Yeshiva College, took advantage of the fact that we're not yet in Chodesh Nisan, that is still Chodesh Adar, and decided, therefore, he was going to deliver a hesped on me. But I told him, no need for introductions, but he overruled me. What's kind of thought? Now there's a halacha. 30 yom lifnei ha-Pesach. Shoylen v'doshim v'hilchas ha-Pesach. That's what we passed. Not 2 weeks, not Shesh Shabbosos, but 30 yom. So, of course, we thought that the proper yonim to discuss would be something to do with Pesachim. When I thought about what I really want to do with you, I realized that I'm one of the very, very few Talmidim still in this world who had the schus not only to be a Talmid of the Rav, I learned with him over 6 years, had the schus to be Mishamashim for 2.5 years, but because of my closeness with the Rav Zatzal, I became a Talmid, a very close Talmid, of his Rebbe, the world-renowned Goyim, Reb Chaim Heller, who most people know very little about, except what's been published. In fact, even his Edom, Rav Singer, recently was Nifter. So I decided, maybe I have a Chayv Kodesh, to let the Olam in the Yeshiva know something about this great Goy and what his derech was in learning, especially since he always believed in interweaving Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh, and he felt that all Amkus and Pilpul has to be grounded in Pshutai Shel Mikra. Let's start. The Pesachim, the opening Mishnah, Vavei Zomer Aleph, begins as follows. On the eve, before the Seder night, we have Bedikas Chometz by the light of a single wick candle. And of course, Rashi immediately comments, the reason is, we Bedika not, we over by your Roy, by your Motzei. And immediately, Tost was asked the question, what do we need Bedika for? We have Bittul. And Midaraisa, if you have Bittul, you're not over by your Roy, by your Motzei. More than that, says Tosfos. The Gemara says, Omar Rav Yehuda Bar Rav, later on, Kol HaBedik Tzorech Yevatel. Everyone has to do Bittul. So what's going on? So why is Bedikah so important? And of course, Tosfos says, because maybe you'll forget and you'll eat, whatever it may be. All right. But that's not the issue. The issue is, everything is really not that clear. Then there's an amazing thing. On Daf, you turn a little bit later, I marked it, I think, in the Maravakaimus. The Gemara says, okay, here it is, the Gemara says, supposing I know of a bais, that we know the owner didn't search it, and then women come and say, we searched it. Can you be soimech on them? And the Gemara says, yes, but only because Bedika is no longer midyaraisa, because since everyone has to do bitul, and bitul midyaraisa is sufficient, and therefore bedika now is only midrabanan, so you can be sotach on the women. Of course, everybody has the same problem, including Tosfos on the spot. Why can't we rely on our women? Tosfos calls the Yerushalmi, to search a house for chometz requires dikdu gadol. You really have to be careful and so on and so forth. And the Yerushalmi says, Moshe Matzlona, you say, a peep shooter, this means the women are lazy. You and I know that's not true. Our women go nuts before Pesach. And you know it. They do spring cleaning and they go into every corner. So what does it mean, Moshe Matzlona, you say? So the Rav emphasized, Atzlonius, according to the Meiri, does not mean that they're lazy. On the contrary, they're too perfectionistic. And because since they take it too seriously, and they know how serious the Issur of Chametz is, they may not finish. On the contrary. And then the Rav said with a smile, and I hope you will all pass it on to your wives, those of you who are married. I certainly try to make it clear to my Yeshus Chayel every year. The Chiddush of the Torah is that midyaraisa we can declare chometz to be offer, dust. Why should women, noshim tikkunis, declare every piece of dust, chometz? Standing everything topsy-turvy. And the result is that the first night of Pesach, which is the only night that's midyaraisa, they sit around the table like battle-scarred veterans. No energy left. Let's make it quick. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. The second night of Pesach, which is only midrabanan, they get their second wind. And they tell us, oh, now you can take time saying Kedusha. So please, May Rav Rabbi said that all of us teach our Noshim Tzidkoniyos that dust is not chometz, and they should really get themselves ready to have Simchas Yom Tov properly. Now, to prepare you for the first point that I'm going to make in the Derech of Chaim Heller Zatzal, he gave Shiurim only this summer, and he had only about 20 Talmidim going to the Shiurim. I was one of those, thanks to the Rashus of the Rav. In fact, I became so close to him, I'll tell you, that after I had already given Siddur Kiddushin for my marriage to the Rav, Rav Chaim told the Rav, he's going to have the honor of being my Masadah Kiddushin. And the Rav gladly gave it to him. So he ended up being my Masadah Kiddushin. He was a tough taskmaster, by the way. I want to tell you what happened. My chasna, like every other chasna in those days, at the chasna's dish, I started giving a pilpul. And of course, like every other chasna, within 2 minutes, everybody started interrupting and singing. And guess what? The Chaim gets up. Of course, he said it in Yiddish. He spoke only Yiddish. He said, this chasna has, it was to Zogin, this one has what to say. I want to hear what he has to say, and you better not interrupt him. I want to hear mitchilosa v'atsoifa. Lucky I was prepared. I spoke 43 minutes. Anyway, the Ran says, since I saw that there is so much irbuvia, so much mix-up in these halachas, he wants to set it straight, and it became a world-famous classical run. Of course, there's another basic question which neither Rashi nor Tosfos ask on the spot there. The Mishnah talks about, we make bedika. How come bitul isn't mentioned at all? If bitul is midyaraisa, why isn't it mentioned? The Ran puts it all into clear focus. And what he does is this. He says, the development of the halacha, of how to get rid of chometz, underwent three distinct tkufas, three distinct stages. In the first stage, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave every yid the option of getting rid of chometz in one of two ways. Either mentally, which is called bitul, or physically, which is called bedika leading to biur. You could do whatever you want. This was the original stage. By the way, what is meant by bitul? Let me interrupt. I'm sure all of you know, let's review it very quickly. Famous machlekes of Rashi and the Ri. Rashi says bitul means mental destruction. How? I'm declaring my chometz to be offer, dust. I consider it dust. It may be mine, but it's not chometz, it's dust. The Ri says no. What it means is, I renounce my ownership of the chometz. I make it hefker. By the way, if you want to know how wise we are, halacha lemaisa, when we do bitul, We combine both Rashi and the Rin. And what do we say? Lehev hefka ke'atra di'aro. In other words, I end up with someone else's gust. Because I combine both shittas. Okay, now how do we know about this chidush? That with mental destruction you can just get rid of chametz. That this is enough in the Torah. So the whole world learns. Poshut. The term that the Torah uses to get rid of chametz is a very strange term. Tashbis. You shall cause to cease to exist. How do you use a term like that? Cause to cease to exist. So the answer is, the only thing the Torah is telling me is, it's not necessarily to va'aru that you have to get rid of it, says the Ran. Not necessarily to shrov, you have to burn it. But there's another way of getting rid of it, which is mental destruction. Whether you learn that Rashi or the Rin, doesn't matter. And in fact, the Ran points out that the Targum translates tashbisu as tabakum. Get rid of it, mental. Okay. Now this sounds rock solid. How else can you interpret tashbisu? First point I want to make, what Reb Chaim said, and the Rav was enthused. If you looked at the Ran, I gave it the Maran Akremus. He quotes that Rabbi Seinu HaTzafati, the French Rabbani, didn't want to learn it out from Tashbisu. They learned it out from what the Sifrei says. Lo yero elecho dvorim. In Paskan. Lo yero elecho. So they, not Paskan, I'm sorry, Rei. So it means Bochel Belibcho. But the question is obvious. In fact, Reb Chaim came up with the Chiddush when the Rav asked him in my presence. He says, tell me, the Diuk of Tashbisu is so solid, you can't learn any other way. How else can you interpret cause to cease to exist? Why did the Sfardim insist on following the Sifrei that it comes from the Yeroi Lecho Se'oya? So Chaim thought a minute, and with a smile he answered to the Rav, the Sfardim are not choylik on the Ashkenazim, they accept the Diuk as rock solid. So the Rav repeated, so why? The Chaim answered very softly, I'll tell you why. Because when you learn out from Tashbisu, you have a Diuk that is solid. But when you learn out from the Yeroi Elecho, it becomes pshuta shel mikro. And he said, of course, in Yiddish, I'll give it to you in English. How do you translate lo yeroi lecho? It shouldn't appear to you as chometz. What kind of nonsense is that? Either it is or it isn't. What do you mean? To me, it doesn't look like chometz. This pshat means mental destruction. So what they preferred is to learn from a pasuk where it's pshuta shel mikro, because it can't have any other meaning. Not the debachelek on the diuk. By the way, just to continue with the Ran to give you the total picture, then what happens is, in the second stage, says the Ran, the Chachamim said, no more Bitul. Bitul was abolished. They told everyone, from now on, we say the only option you take is Bidiko leading to Biyur. Why? Very simple. Because Bitul has dangers. Bitul is only good if I have a machshava b'leiv sholem, if I say it and I really mean it. And the Ran says, but there are many kinds of people with different levels of intelligence. There are going to be some who are going to say it and not really mean it. And if they say the words but not really mean it, then it won't be what? Bota. And they'll be over by your royal. I have to protect those people. The Ran also makes another point. The other point is, we're so used to eating chametz, even if I have chametz around and I really make bittul b'leiv sholem, out of forgetfulness, I may take a piece and eat it. So you may say, hey, what does it matter? He made bittul. So the revisor says, once you eat it, it shows that you don't really think it's dust. If it were dust, you wouldn't be eating it. Then you'll be over and eat so from it. There's a third reason too. That's based on the Gemara later on. Shema yimtzog nisko yefefio. Maybe he'll find some beautiful chametz, and even though he made bittul b'leiv sholem, somebody comes to visit him and finds, let's say, 10 bottles of whiskey, which are worth over $100. He says, what? You left this in your house on Pesach? You declare the dust? You have money to burn? $100 or $200? If in that moment he has one moment of regret, machshava mevatelas machshava,
and then he becomes back into chametz and he's over. So for all these reasons, bittul was not found to be wise. And in that second stage, there was only bedikah and biur, and that's the Mishnah. In the beginning of the Kufa Satanoim, the only thing you had was bedikah and biur. And the option of bittul was taken away by the Chachamim. Later on, at the end of the Tanaitic period, in the beginning of the Amoraic period, Omarav Yehuda Marav, Habedek Tzorek Shiyevatel, you must also have bittul in addition to biur. Why was that instituted by Rav? So the answer is very simple. The Ran points out the vast majority of Paskin, which is solid, that if I do Bedikas Chometz very thoroughly and I overlook one little piece of Chometz, I overlook it. For example, I happen not to drink whiskey except at a simcha where I take a tiny little sip. Someone brings me a bottle of whiskey. So my wife wants to clean up, and what happens is she puts it in the linen closet, you know, just to get it out of the way. Now we know the halacha, you only search for chametz where you think there might be chametz. And then she's on the ladder on Pesach getting out some linens, let's say, there's the bottle of whiskey. You're not over the mafreya. But once you know about it, you have to get rid of it instantly. Supposing just at that moment the telephone rings, or the doorbell rings, or the kids are fighting, and we delay it 5 or 10 minutes, you're over by your roi, by your matzah. And therefore, habodek tzorek shiyevatzah, by having bittul always, even if you find chametz on Pesach, you don't immediately get rid of it, you're not over by your roi, by your matzah, because what's your reaction going to be? Oh, are we lucky that we made bittul? Then you're not over by your roi, by your matzah. This was the final stage, okay? Now, I want to discuss something else with you. Another very interesting conversation. Okay? This is really something. I was sitting with Rav and Reb Chaim, and we were talking about the Gemara later on, and Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, and Daf Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara says, I indicated in the Maran HaKadosh, how do we know Medikas Chometz is Midei Oraisa? From where do we know? So the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Miketz. It's a Gzeirah Shavah. It says, "Vayechapes in Miketz, v'gadol hechel v'kot mkila, v'yimotzei gaviyah b'mtachas b'nyomin." And it says, "So'oyah lo yimotzei, yimotzei yimotzei." So you learn, just like in Miketz, the finding came after searching. Metziah was after chipus. So too, by chametz, lo yimotzei must be preceded by chipus. It's a Gzeirah Shavah. Gzeirah Shavah. So the Rav said to Reb Chaim, but wait a minute, Rashi says, Afal Pishen Rai, the Dover Zeichel, the Dover. So the Rav said, the Tzlach says, that only applies the fact that we search by a single wick candle. The fact, you see, because Rashi says, why is the Zeichel, the Dover, like an Asmachta? Because Divrei Torah mi Divrei Kabbalah lo Yalfinam. When the Psukim from Kelnach, you can't learn the Niraisa from it. But that's only the Psukim for Or Haner. The psukim for bedika are all in the chumash. So ayah lo yimotzei and yimotzei agavia is all in the chumash. So that's a real right. Okay. So Reb Chaim answered him. Every gezeirah shavah and every time we have a diuk from a pasuk, you hear? Listen to this carefully. There is a flashing signal in the Torah that says you have to daven it. Because otherwise you can't ever understand why a pasuk in a narrative story of Yosef and his brothers should be connected to a halachic edict of Sa'ayel Yimotzeh. So the Rav interrupted him and said, yeah, what can you say about Kicha, Kicha, Mr. Ephraim? So Chaim smiled. You know, the beginning of Kiddushin, where it says that Kesef Kiddushin Menolah, we have a Gzeirah Shavah. Nasati akesef kach mimeni and v'yikach yishisho. So Reb Chaim smiled. Isn't it obvious? All the mafreshim talk about. How can Avraham Avinu say, kach mimeni, take the money from me, if he precedes it by saying, nasati akesef, I gave the money already. If he gave it, so what's he begging him to take it? So even the mafreshim point out, I'm ready to give it, whatever it may be. So he says, that's the flashing signal. That you have to learn something from the kach, we beget kicha kicha kedushin. So The Rav then turned to Reb Chaim. So what's the flashing signal? In Bnikas Chometz. So Reb Chaim answered, isn't it obvious? And the Rav said, I'm waiting for you to tell me already. So Reb Chaim answered, I'll tell you what. Look at the puzzle. Vayechapesh, and he searched actively. Bagodol Heikel, and he began with the oldest. Uvakotam Kilo, and he finished with the youngest. All active. And then the pasuk switches to a passive. Vayimotzei ha-gaviyah. The cup was found as if by itself. It should have said what? Vayechapesh, Heikel, Kilo, Vayimso. The man who searched, who began, who ended, found it. Why switch to what? Vayimotzei. That's the flashing signal. The flashing signal is that you have to find another Yimotzei, and then you can learn the halacha that Metziah must be preceded by Chippus. I will deviate just a little bit, and the Schus, I applied Chaim's method to some other situations, and the Rav was masking. For example, I applied it to something else. There's the famous Gemara in Sanhedrin. You all know it, I'm pretty sure. That how do we know that we have to be mashve dine mominus to dine nefoshes? Because the pasuk says, mishpat echad yilochem. In emor, one law for all of you. This teaches us, with certain exceptions, that mominus and nefoshes should have the same procedure. Okay, so Tosfos already asks, what has this pasuk got to do with dine mominus nefoshes? The pasuk goes on, kager ke ezroch yeye. It talks about treating the ger and the ezroch alike. That pshuta shel mikra. So how do we get to mominus nefoshes? Tosfos asks the same question, and he gives an answer. What's the answer? The pasuk before in Emor is umake behema yishalmena. You pay when you kill an animal, mominus. Umake odam yumos, but chayiv misa if you kill a human being. But what Tosfos doesn't explain is one thing. How did Chazal know that this pasuk of Mishpat Echad, which speaks of Ger and Ezroch, should also refer back to the previous pasuk? I told the Rav, Zatzal, in the Shita on the Derech of our joint Rebbe, I think the Fiyani is daiti, it could be very simple. If you look at the pasuk, Mishpat Echad, Yilochem Takeke, Ezroch Yiyah, there's a Yitur of the Kroh, there's something extra. The pasuk could either simply have said, Kager ke Ezroch Yiyah, it's enough. Or could have said, if you want to be more explicit, Mishpat Echad Yiyah Lager Vela Ezroch. There's certainly an extra Yiyah here. What do you do with that? There's no extra word in the Torah. Answer is, by having two independent clauses, Mishpat Echad Yilachem and Kager ke Ezroch Yiyah, that's the flashing signal that the first part has to go to the pasuk Shulafonov. Another place where I applied it, a different Masechta. And the Rav loved this one. And it's again, it's a schus of Reb Chaim. The Gemara says in the beginning of Shnah Mozim, the famous halacha, all of you know it, Moide b'miktas is yishov al ashor. You pay for what you admit, the part, and the rest, you have to swear shmula d'yaraisa. Unlike the kofar hakol, if I deny everything, b'yaraisa, I'm part of mashua. Habashua says the Rabban. Okay. Gemara raises a question. What happens if I deny everything? I'm a kofar hakol. So mina Torah and potter. Yeah? And then what happens? Hadoas Aden. Aden come and say, he doesn't owe the $100 that the Malveh claimed, but he owes 50. Aden. So Rav Chiya says what? Hadoas Aden is certainly as good and better than Hadoas Atzmai, and of course that's like Maid of Mikzas, he has to swear on the rest. That's Rav Chiya's opinion. Avuah the Rav Aptorike disagrees strongly. He says, no, that's not Hadoas Atzmai, that's Hadoas Aden, that's not Maid of Mikzas. Then the Gemara says, guess what? They both get it from the same pasuk. Asher yoyma ki huze. That's the pasuk where we get Maid of Mikzas from. Now, how do they get it? So the Gemara says like this. According to Rav Chiya, I have two words, one of which is extra, right? So the extra word comes to eliminate not Aden, but it comes to eliminate Hoydor Shaloimi min Hataina. That if I ask you, for example, for wheat, and you admit barley, that's not called Maidim Mitzas, that's something different. And there are many swaras from this, Hoydor, Kenegat Hoydor, whatever it may be, very longishes words. But Hadoas Aden is exactly like when he admits. And guess what Avud Rav Tzviki says? No. It doesn't matter if you admit something different. That's still partial admission as long as it's partial value. But what's excluded is when Eden say you owe. And then the Gemara says, they both get in the same pasuk. There are two words, and the machlokes is, which one is what? Excluded. That's an obvious question. If it's only machlokes and svaris, why do you talk about the pasuk? And there are beautiful, lovish svaris on both sides of the fence. Those of you who've learned Shema Muslim, Be'iyun, no, there's a good, tremendous amount of lumdus in these, and differently shayinim and achayinim. V'yani is writing the shita of my Rebbe Reb Chaim. It's very simple, but the Gemara traces it to a pasuk. Kulei almalei plige, everyone admits that in the pasuk asher yema ki hu zeh, there is an extra word. I don't need who, and I don't need zeh. There's an extra word. You know what the machlekes is? The machlekes is, which is the extra word? According to Rav Chiya, listen to this, Asher Yoyma Ki Hu. That's the first word. Okay, that's enough. Why does it say Zeh? Zeh means the mind. Zeh v'ladova acher. It means this kind of hodor and not a different hodor. And Avuah Rav Tzviki says, no. The normal word in the pasuk should have been what? Asher Yoyma Ki Zeh. This is what I admit to. So what's the yitu of the claw? Who? Who means H-E in English, he. So then, it's who, the Lo-Eden. And then you can come with the lumbus. But it's grounded, you see, in Pshutai Shel Mikra. I want to tell you something else now, a completely different sugya. I don't have much time left. Sugya on Kufyu Dalet, in Avei Psochim. I put it in the Magen Mekonos. Kufyu Dalet. In Avei Psochim. It's actually... The Mishnah is found twice. You also have it in the 8th parak of Brochus and Elu Dvorim. Okay? Which is a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in the Suda. It's Mosguloi Kais Rishon, etc. Now let me tell you. What's going on there? Famous machlokes of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, both, not only on Pesach, every Shabbos and every Yom Tov make Kiddush. We have two brachas, Vayavayar Rofen, and the Birkas HaYoy, Mekadosh HaShabbos, Mekadosh Yisroel Vazmanim, whichever. Which is the proper order of the brachas? You have the same machlokes as quoted both in brachas and in Psoch. Beis Shammai says, first you make the bracha over the Yom, then you make the bracha over the Yayin. Beis Hillel says, no, that's what we do. You make the bracha over the Yayin first, then you make the bracha over the Yom. Okay. What's the reason? Now listen to this. And the Rav smiled. Beis Shammai has two rock solid reasons. The first one is what? So simple. Look. What causes me to make Kiddush? The Yom. If it wouldn't be Kodesh HaYom, I wouldn't be making Kiddush. So the Yom is the cause, and the Kiddush is the effect. So the brach has to be Yom first, and then the consequence, Yom. That's Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai has a second reason, rock solid. Which one comes first? Kedushas HaYom or Kiddush HaLayayim? Kedushas HaYom. The moment it gets close to sunset, you have Kedushas HaYom. Kiddush comes much later. Kishen Shekredim L'Kenisa, Kach Kredim L'Zochel. So you should make first the Birkas HaYom, and then the Birkas HaYom. Beis Hillel sounds flimsy, to say the best. What does he say? Well, you know, it's not really the yom that causes the yayin. It's the yayin that causes me to make kiddush. Because if I didn't have yayin, or I didn't have challah at night, unless on a Friday night, and I had nothing to make kiddush over, so even though the yom is kiddush, I couldn't make kiddush. So the direct cause is my having wine or challah. So that's why that should go first. The other one is a legalistic one. Todi Hashem or Todi Atada Kodem. When you have two brachas, so whichever one is frequent comes first, and the infrequent one comes second. So Vayavayar Gofen is more frequent, it's not limited to certain days, and the Yom is less, so it's second. When you really think of it, you realize one thing. Beis Shammai sounds a lot more solid than Beis Hillel. It's a fact. The Sugya even asks, why do we pass like Beis Hillel? And the Sugya talks about, if you looked at it, Well, it's a question of a paschal. Did we listen to the paschal? Not the paschal. The Rav smiled. He says, I'm going to apply Reb Chaim to a halachic sugya. And it's so beautiful. And he said, actually, he was anticipating the taste of Amshe Shem and a couple other before she mentioned. If the question would be that I make only Birkas Hayoyim and Birkas Hayayim, Beis Shammai would win hands down. The Birkas Hayoyim has to come first. But the question is not that at all. The question is, when I repeat the Birkas Hayoyim for the second time, which comes first? All of us, when we've done Meir, have already said Birkas Hayoyim. And that takes care of the reasoning of Beis Shammai. Then the Birkas Hayom was said, in Maidah we have Mekadosh HaShabbos. In Maidah we have what? Mekadosh Yisroel Vazmanim. We always say it, right? Then in Kiddush now, I'm talking about when I say the Birkas Hayom the second time, after davening Maidah, in the repetition of the second time, which comes first? So Bersilat says, now wait a minute. If you didn't have Yayin or Pas, you couldn't repeat it. You have to rely on what you said in Maidah. Right? He also says, now we have two brachas and we're repeating it. Well, then you have to follow the regular order of brachas. By the way, there's a common misunderstanding in Todeh She'eino Todeh, again from my Talmid of all the time, let me just correct it. It doesn't mean that Eino Todeh always takes back seat. No. As a matter of fact, yesterday we had Parshas Porah. Now the Todeh is the Haftorah for the Sedra. Porah is not the Todeh at all, it's Eino Todeh. So how can we say the Haftorah for Parshas Porah? When it's either Todeh or Eino Todeh, of course Eino Todeh wins out. Otherwise Eino Todeh would never get a chance. The question is, when I do both, which one comes first? Now let me switch a little bit. Time is running out soon. To Agoda. I promised you Peninim Bukhorin Alokha Vagoda may have the same as the Chusam Yogan Aleinu. I'll share with you quickly. A Beis Halevi that the Rav called a favorite Beis Halevi. And not because he's my Elter Zaydi, because you know, that's the one who he was named after. His first Rebbe was Reb Chaim. He was still alive, Reb Chaim Bliskel, when the Rav was a youngster. Everybody has the same question, Vayechazek Hashem is Leib Paroi. Everybody has the same question. How can Paroi be punished for not letting the Yidden go in Yetzias Mitzrayim when HaKadosh Baruch Hu made his heart obstinate? By the way, you want to know how Rav Sadie Goin interprets Vayechazak Hashem as Leib Paro? It's almost hilarious. He said that Chazak Hashem as Leib Paro means that God fortified his heart that he shouldn't die of a heart attack from the impact of the Makos. Interesting. Rav Sadie Goin. Anyway, let me tell you. So all kinds of nechutzim are given. When the sin is bad enough, then you lose your Bechira. But, you know, okay. The Beis Halevi, I can't understand how anyone can learn a different shot after this Beis Halevi either. He says, what do you think? And if God wouldn't have hardened his heart, you wouldn't have a question? Sure you would. He says, Hechreach en shava me'uma. When you do something by force and coercion, it's worth nothing. Lo yishubach lo yiguna. You can't be praised for it, and you can't be what condemned for it. If Paro would have let the Jews go because he was forced into it by the Makos, it wouldn't have been worth anything. It's not Bechira. Not at all. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make sure that Paro had Bechira Chofshi. So what did he do? Vayechazek Hashem Ezlei Paro. He strengthened his heart sufficiently to withstand the impact of the Makos, that to give him back his free will, that he didn't feel coerced by the Makos, and could exercise his free will, and that's why it says, Ad Mosai Atomoim Lishalach, how someone. And that's, of course, let me tell you, and this is basic to Yahadus. I'll give you another example, it fits in right with Pesach. Do you know, the Yitzchak Arama and Akedas Yitzchak points out, why in the Parsha of Va'era, when it comes to the Makkah of Heil Borod, it says, Rachita Vakusemes Lo Nuku, that the wheat and the scalp were not smitten by the hail, ki atilo isheina, because they ripened late. What do we care which crops were destroyed, which not? And he answers, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to spare two crops. Why? Because that gave Paro back his freedom, because his Yoyatzim said, O King Paro, this is not the hand of God. If this would have been an act of God, he could have destroyed all crops, including those that were not yet ripe. By the mere fact that the crops that were not yet ripe have not been destroyed, it shows it's a random event. It guaranteed his freedom of choice. And by the way, that's why Chazal say that every nace was al pi derech hateva, in order that it preserves our freedom of choice. I'll give you the best example. I don't know whether you ever thought about it. Kriyas Yamsuf, which we celebrate, of course, on Pesach. Why did God have a ruach kodim azo all night long, a strong east wind, before he split the Red Sea? Would have been a much bigger nace had there been no wind at all, and he just split the sea. The answer is, had he done it that way, he would have removed everybody's bechira chofshis. Everybody would have had to admit this is an act of God. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make it look like a hurricane came just the right time. So the Yidn exercised bechira chofshis v'yaminu v'ashem v'maisha avdol, and others did not. Okay, I still have a few more minutes. So let me go a little further. Another thing I want to say to you. We have Arba Kosis. Arba Kosis. And every one of you knows, I'm trying to pick that which you're all familiar with, Kenega Dalet V'Shayna Shal Ge'ula. Because the four different terms of Ge'ula, that's why we have four Kosis. Tzesi, Tzalti, Ge'alti, V'Lakach. I want to ask you a question. There was one Dolus Mitzrayim and one Ge'ula. And because there are four words, we need four kosos. Let me ask you, if there would have been 10 words, we'd have 10 kosos? Then Pesach would end up like Purim, we'd all get drunk. Well, what is this? There's a beautiful Tiferes Yisrael. Tiferes Yisrael says, beautiful. The Kitchen Imros, he makes a simple point. There were four different geulos, and for each one, I give shevach v'hagoyah. The first one, her tzesi, is Geulas Haguf. We had no physical freedom. We got back our physical freedom. The second one, Mitzalti, is Geulas Hamomoy. As slaves, we had no right to own property. We had no economic rights. The second one was Geulas Hamomoy, economic freedom. The third one, Mitzalti, was Geulas Hakovod. We got back the freedom of being dignified human beings, call it political freedom, but political and civil rights. And the final one, that was Geulas Haruach, spiritual freedom. And now I'll never forget, this was in a private conversation when I was picking up the Rav before Pesach, 2 weeks before Pesach. And I always used to pick him up in Harlem, 125th Street and Park Avenue, in the years he was still coming in by train. And we were on the bus, because I never had a car, to this day I don't, I didn't then either. We were on the bus to go to his mother, Aleha Shalom, the Rebbetzin of Rav Moshe, 480 West 187th Street. And he said to me, you know that maker? I thought of something. That's not pshat, he says, that's a derech drush. He says, you know there's a halacha for good, sound halachic reasons. That you can drink between the first and second cup, and you can drink between the first, the second, and third cup, but you can't drink anything between the third and fourth cup. He said, I thought of a much bigger reason. He says, you know why you can't drink anything between the third and fourth cup? Take a girl who's enslaved and given physical freedom, economic freedom, and political freedom. That's all he wants. He gets drunk with overjoy, like a New Year's Day celebration, New Year's Eve. The Yid is told, now you have to stay sober. Don't you drink a drop of liquor, because physical freedom, economic freedom, and political freedom have to serve the higher goal of spiritual freedom. It's a beautiful thought. It's not halacha, it's not pshat, but the thought is beautiful. The other very famous Beis Halevi, if you have it printed in, I gave the psukim in, I think I should have it with me, because I want you to look inside the text if you have it. But that is really, it's amazing. And although it was given by the Beis Halevi, you should know one thing. It really follows the Biskadera, which we think started a little bit later. That whenever you have a lot of questions in one sugya, the klal is, if one teretz solves all the kashas, then you know it's emes. But if you need a separate teretz for every kasher, no matter how good it sounds, it's probably not emes. Now, take a look in Bo. In Bo, Perek Yudbeis, which we're going to hear soon in Parshas HaChodesh. Okay, let's look at it together. We're going to start with Pasuk Yudbeis, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Moshe. Ve'avati ve'eretz Mitzrayim ba'laylo hazeh, ve'kesi kol b'chol ve'eretz Mitzrayim ve'odam ha'behemo, ve'chol Elohei Mitzrayim esh shpotim ani Hashem. And the Medrash, to everybody, comments, and it's accepted all over, the Balagoda, including the Agoda, ve'kesi ani lo what? V'lo malach. Ani v'lo sorov. Right? Everything is always mentioned. Ani v'lo sorov. Ani v'lo achav. The first question is, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? If the Makas B'chayres would not have been done by Kodesh Baruch Hu, but he would have sent the Malach to do it, would that have been less of a mess? That's be emphasized. Ani v'lo ache, ani v'lo sorov, ani v'lo shaliach. What's the big deal? Let's go further. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'hoi Adon lochem le'os al abotim asher atem shom, v'ro'is is Adon, and when I see the blood that you put on the doorpost, u'fasachti aleichem, I'll skip over you. Now you know one thing, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says I'm going to skip over you, then no Bechor is going to die. That's what skipping over means. And then it says, v'lo yir bochem negev le'mashkiz b'akosi b'eretz Mitzrayim, it repeats. And nobody's going to die. That's a repetition. It's the two of the call. If he says, Fasachti Aleichem, then I know that no one is going to die. That's the second question. Third question. Who is this Mashkas? I thought we just got through saying, Anivul Amalach, Anivul Osorov, Anivul Ach, Anivul Osholiach. Who is this Mashkas? Now, look in Pasuk Chav Gimel. Chav Gimel is when Moshe Rabbeinu gives over the message that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave him to Klal Yisrael. Look at it. It's just amazing. Pasuk Chav Gimel. Pasuk Chav Gimel, where is it? Let's look, let's find it. Chav Gimel, you have it over here? No, I have to find it, just a second, yeah. Ve'omer Hashem lingof es Mitzrayim, and when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to pass through Mitzrayim to smite it, ve'roh es Adom al ha-machlech mizuz, when he sees the blood, now look at this, u'pasach Hashem al ha-pesach, again, he'll skip over that door, which has the blood. And now it repeats it again. But he said it already. So naturally that's going to happen. That's already what the fourth question, the fifth question. Who is this Maskus again? He will not permit the Maskus to come in. But I thought there was nobody else there. Now let's go further. When we tell the story to our children, and that's going to be in Pasuk, let's find it. That's going to be in Pasuk of Zion. V'amartem zevach pesach mul Hashem. We tell our kids like this. Asher pasach al botei v'nei Yisroel b'mitzrayim b'nokma es Mitzrayim. He skipped over the houses of the Jews when he smote Egypt. And then again he repeats. There's b'teinu hitzev. Well, naturally, if he skipped over the houses of the Jews, of course, he saved our houses. Next question. What happened to Damascus? He's like the magician's rabbit. He's here and he's gone. In Yud Beis we're told, nobody but him. Then in Yud Gimel, Chav Gimel, there's Damascus. And then in Chav Zayin, when we tell the story, what? No mention of Damascus. Next question. It's unbelievable. Okay? The gender is wrong. Not the gender. The number. Take a look. It says over here in Pasuk Chav Zayin, Asher Pasach Avotei V'nei Yisrael, who skipped over the houses of the Jews in third person. And then it says, there's Boteinu Hitzil. And what? He saved what? Our houses in first place. It should either have been Asher Pasach al what? Boteinu, there's Boteinu Itzil, Asher Pasach Abote B'nei Yisrael, right? V'itzil as Boteihem, their houses. Finally, take a look. Impossible honor, when it actually happened. V'yachom paro laylohu v'chol avarachom Mitzrayim, v'ti tzok ha-gedolu b'mitzrayim. Ki ein bayis asher ein shomeis. There was no house in which there wasn't a dead person. And everybody, of course, has the same question. What happens if the house didn't have a Bechor? So Rashi says, well, then the Gadol HaBayis is called the Bechor. Yeah, but other Mefarshim ask, Rashi doesn't answer the whole question. What happens in that house? There was no old son at all. That all the sons already had died and only daughters. Daughters were never Bechorahs. What happened there? How can we say no house without a dead person? Finally, says the Beis HaLevi, even when we thank God for what he did with the Makas Becheres in the Halal HaGodol, Perakuf Lamed Vov in Tehillim, we say in our davening every Shabbos, Pasuk Yud, Lamakei Mitzrayim Mitchorehen. What a strange way to say it. You should have said, Lamakei Becheres Mitzrayim. Oh, Lamakei Mitzrayim Bibachoreh. The Beis HaLevi answers all questions, that's why the Rav loved it, with one test. There were two nisim that happened that night. At the stroke of midnight, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, nobody else, killed every Egyptian firstborn. That's the first thing. The second thing, when suddenly you had thousands of corpses and cadavers rotting in the heat, within a few hours, an epidemic of pestilence broke out. And thousands and thousands and thousands of non-firstborn Egyptians died. That was the Magepha. And God made two promises to the Yidden. Number one, he promised, when I see the blood, I'll skip over your house. If you have a firstborn, he will not be killed. Number two, I promise you, Damascus, the Magepha, which will kill thousands and thousands of normal Egyptians, will not touch you. Why is that important? As he tells us in Pasuk Lamed. Ki ein dais asha ein shomeis. There wasn't a single Egyptian house that didn't have a dead person, either from Makas Becheres or from the Mashkes to Magepha. Therefore, when Moshe Rabbeinu repeats it to Klal Yisrael, he repeats the two promises. Number one, he's going to skip over your house. Becheres don't have to worry. Number two, there's not going to be anyone dying from the Magepha. Lo yiten ha-Mashkes lovoi. But when I tell the story to my kids, now take me for example. In my family, there was no Becheres, right? Because the oldest was a girl. So even if I had been in Egypt, would I have been saved from Makas Becheres? No, I wasn't eligible. So here's the way I have to tell it. Asher posach al botei b'nei Yisrael. He skipped over the houses of the Jews. Which houses? Those that had a firstborn. They were not offended. But you should know, I tell my kids, as Bateinu Hitzil, he saved every one of the houses, either from Makas Becheres or what? The Magepha. That's why the Mashkes is not mentioned. Now watch it. That was known by David HaMelech when he composed the Halal HaGadol. He said, L'makei Mitzrayim, he smote all of Egypt. And how did he accomplish it? Bivachorehem, by the Makas Becheres, where he ultimately he hit every Egyptian house. Finally, I have a few more minutes. One final thing, which is, I want to make a point after this one. I heard this originally from my late brother-in-law, Rav Tzvi Dov Kanatapsky, Zechut Zalif Racha, who was a Rebbe, a Rosh Yeshiva at YU for many decades, till his Aliyah, and he told me he heard it from the Rav. I did not hear this from the Rav. We have Keneged Abo Bonim Dibur Torah. By the way, Keneged facetiously means we're against four types. We prefer not to have a Russia. Say Keneged not only corresponding, but against. But anyway, everybody has the same question. The question of the Chacham, the question of the Russia. We don't see a difference. What does the Russia say? And we condemn him. Oh! Had he been there, he wouldn't have been redeemed, etc., etc. The Chacham says, Mo'edos v'chukim ha-mishpotim v'shutziv ha-shem elokeinu eschem, and him we praise, he is a Chacham, and we answer. You look at the questions, they look similar. The Rosh says, Lachem. The Chacham says, Eschem. So the Welt Zog, they say, well, Eschem is like Itchem. If that isn't artificial, I don't know what is. Eschem still means you. Then another commentary is, I don't even repeat all the terutzim. Another commentary is, well, at least the Chacham says, Hashem Elokeinu. That is mind-boggling to me. That makes the Chacham more the chutzpahnik than the Rosha. The Rosha doesn't know of God. Okay? He's a tinek shenishbo. The Chacham says, yeah, Hashem Elokeinu is my God too. But Tziva, the mitzvahs, that's only for you. That more chutzpah? So why do we praise him as the Chacham and the other one is the Rosha? So I heard from my brother-in-law that the Rav answered it in a totally new fashion. The Rav says, very often you have to look at the entire psukim. This is so beautiful. When you look at the question of the Chochem, you know how it begins? V'hoya ki yish'olcha bincha machar. When your child will ask you one day. You know how the question of the Rosha begins? V'hoya ki yoinvu aleichem b'neichem. When your children will come and will tell you. When a child comes to a tati or a mami and says, tati or mami, abba, imma, daddy, mami, whichever one, I'm asking you, it doesn't matter what he says, and it doesn't matter how he says it, he's a chacham, he wants to learn, you answer. But when children come to parents and say, we're not asking you, we're telling you, that means they know it all better, they don't want to learn. That's being a rasha. Doesn't pay even to answer. And to this, I added one more thing. This made me understand subsequently, after my brother-in-law passed away already, I couldn't even share it with him, why the question of the Chacham is in Yochid, Ki Yish'olcha Bincha Machar. When a child alone is asking anything, he's never a Rasha, he wants to know. But when the new generation, yes, B'neichem, V'hoya ki yomru aleichem b'neichem, when the new generation gangs up against the old fogies, the old folks, like they call a father the old man, right? And the mother the old lady in the lingo. And they say, look, we know better. That's bad news, because they think they know it all and know it all better. And the chiddush is that the Torah dafke uses by the Rosh of the word yomru. Amira is a soft language, not like dibur. Even when they sound respectful, oh, we don't blame you old folks. You're from a previous generation. Don't think we're misjudging you badly. But how can you know? We're more modern. We're with it. We do know. That's vicious. What I want to say to you is, the limud is this. And I think we can all be proud that we're in Yeshiva Sabin Yisrael Chana. That when people want to learn and are respectful and they ask, it doesn't matter what madrega they're on, and it doesn't matter how they phrase it, we have to reach out to each and every Jew in order to be the Kaddish Shem Shamayim and Lahadil Toivah Lahadira. I want you to know, I have the schus to be the Gemara Shem more than half a century at YU. What makes our yeshiva so special, it makes it different as far as I'm concerned from every other yeshiva in America and in Israel, is we don't believe in that fallacious approach to Torah Chinuch, that one size fits all. That's a disaster. Different people have different strengths and different weaknesses. Different people have different interests. Different people have different attitudes. Each one, Chanoich Lanao Pidakar. Our yeshiva now is the only one that has four totally different morning programs of the Limudei Kodesh, catering to every kind of Talmud. In every other yeshiva, basically, they have one ideal of a Talmud. Either you fit in, or you're an outcast. And how many neshamas are declared hefka because of that philosophy? And I want to tell you more than this. We're the only yeshiva that has four kolelim. Many other yeshivas have a kolel or two. How come we have four? Because even on the level of a kolel, each one has a different focus. And remember one thing. The only way we can be mekarev neshamas b'Yisrael is never by being harsh and never by condemning, but by welcoming and embracing. And as I once told the Yid who I met on the bus, the famous number one bus, when I told him off, a Hasidic Yid much older than I was, and he was saying something nasty about some of the non-charedim aboard of the bus. And I said to him, you know, what you're doing is all wrong. He says, why? You're worried about them? I said, no, I'm worried about us. Because if that's where we are, we're not going to be in the carriage. When he got off the bus, he embraced me and he kissed me. You know what he said to me? Rebbe, you gave, you're the kind of mitzvah Shavas Aveda. You returned to me the mitzvah of Avas Yisrael. You taught me that you have to love a Jew, even if he's not like us. And I answered him, then you've only learned half the lesson. When the Jew is not like us, you have to love him twice as much to be mekarev. V'chein yirotzoi. Amen. Oh, sure! How are you? Mensch!
No, David.
David, yeah, sure,
I'm Levy, but he sent me.
What about the last market? Wasn't it the market that did it?
No. He again.